everyone. I'm Dawn.
And I'm Lana.
And I'm Josh.
And I'm Liz.
And you're listening to another fabulous episode of Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age.
We improve with wine.
And I am so excited about tonight's theme because Lana hates Tempranillo. And
I don't hate it.
You don't like it.
It's not my favorite. It's not my usual choice.
I know it's not. But this was.
But it was your choice.
And yeah, you let me pick.
And I'm being gracious.
I know you are. So my ultimate goal is to hope that Lana falls in love with Tempranillo like she did with Cabernets a long time ago when
and
she hated Cabernet.
Well, and I've grown to love Merlot. Hello, come
what
on.
What did you like?
Actually,
so
Pinot Noir.
Cabernet.
You know, it just grows on you. And I, like I have said before, it's really important to read the tasting notes. Because the finish and how dry a wine is really has an effect on me. So, there we go.
Yeah.
Well, that's my big deal. That and California wines are usually not my favorite.
Oh my God, let's not start that yet.
Okay. I have many soapboxes. I try not to stand on them for too long at a time.
So we have two fabulous bottles. Faustino the VII.
Ooh, devil wine. I love it.
And which one did Lana bring?
Albero.
What?
Spanish red wine, Tempranillo. Mm. And it is organically grown grapes.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
So our guest, Ladies' Choice, do you want to pick what we're doing here?
Yeah. I don't know.
Which one do we want to start with?
Yeah. Yes. Let's start with this one.
Yay!
Okay.
I'm seeing where it was grown.
So we're starting the Albero.
Sorry. I know. Yes. Very boring podcast, dead air, while Liz reads the label.
That's all right. We'll have
dead air.
We'll have time to read
dead
it
air.
On the air.
Yeah,
okay, cool. Wait a second. Now, I'm having an interesting time trying to get this open.
Josh, do your trick.
What's the trick? Ooh.
Oh
wow! Okay, so basically, Josh just manhandled the cap off, not the cork, but the covering.
You can just pull the foil off most bottles.
All right.
Well, now I'm trying with the other one. It's going. It's actually. Hold on. Oh my God! Look what I just
learned from Josh.
Thank you. Well, this is fascinating.
Wine tip number one. Aren't you glad you had us?
If you're a waiter at a restaurant, it's not as impressive, but...
No, but it also
doesn't involve having to use the little knife.
The little
being all
foil cutter thingy.
Yeah.
Okay, now this is one of our things. Let's see if we can get a good sound from this.
Yep. Yeah, very good.
All right, so our second...
Why did you have to move the almonds?
Because the almonds might have gotten in the way. The sound. They might have, like, buffered.
Everyone knows
it.
Almonds are like those panels at Orchestra Hall.
Sound battles. I love it.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Now, this is our second... This is really our favorite sound.
Wait, let me move
sound.
The almonds before you do that.
our very favorite sound in the world. Oh, life becomes very good with this sound.
It does.
Are we talking about the wine?
Yeah.
I'll move the almonds back. Notice you can't hear anything now.
Josh and Liz are thinking that they're moaning.
No.
What kind of podcast is this,
This
guys?
Is the best podcast ever.
Ever.
Because I have to admit, not only do I always look forward to wine, but particularly today because I got trapped in IKEA for a while.
Oh.
Why? And how?
Well, it was one of those, you know how they say, here's a shortcut to get out? And I swear I just went in circles.
Oh, yeah.
And I wish I would have had, like, a ball of yarn or something to help me.
Breadcrumbs. Okay, so
let's take a gander at our wine.
Yeah, let's look at the color.
We're just checking out the color.
It's a beautiful rubyish color.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's lovely.
It's actually even
very
a little
solid.
Pinker than garnets. I'm not wearing the usual garnet ring that we have.
Are you dead? Did you die?
No.
Is that why you're not wearing
them? No, I just forgot to put on the garnets today.
Okay. So let's give this puppy a swirl.
A little swirl.
Doot, doot, doot. Well, I'm trying not to spill it.
I did give you a lot, didn't I?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
It's a Friday today.
Yeah.
I'm seeing some legs, but they're...
Not a ton of legs.
Not a ton.
They're pretty small.
Yeah.
A little sniff.
Yeah, shove your noses in there. Give it a good whiff and... What do you think, Josh?
It smells like a Tempranillo.
Oh.
It does.
And how would you classify a Tempranillo smell, out of curiosity?
It's got a little bit of pepper.
Mm-hmm. You're singing her song.
It's not, you know, it's not super fruity. Tasting like, you know, deeper fruits. Like, there's a little bit of plum in there.
Oh. It is. Mm-hmm. It's
and a bit alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a bit of alcohol.
Okay.
Can we drink it now? Well, we have to toast. We have to toast first. What are we toasting to?
That's okay.
We'll pretend. You can't. No one drank anything yet.
Yes.
No. Okay. Should we toast to? Or to new tattoos?
Yes.
New tattoos.
Yeah. Cheers, cheers. Take a drink and... Well, you could take another drink, Liz. Mm-hmm. Which, this is your first drink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think?
What do you mean, another drink?
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice chewy tannin like a Tempranillo should.
Yeah.
Nom, 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 nom. Don's happy.
Okay. The tannin is hitting on the forward of the tongue instead of in the middle, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. I just need a straw and I'll be fine.
Not a ton of fruit. It's sort of... It's lighter notes, a little bit of like a strawberry.
Nom, nom, nom. Why did you choose this bottle, Lana? Just
I chose this one. Now, there were more expensive bottles, but the... What it talked more about that it had more fruit to it, and that it was supposed to have an yes, you have a plate of your own, Josh. It's
yeah, you don't have to steal other people's bread.
That was much more convenient.
And stolen food always tastes better. Anyway.
It does. Yeah. It also had a softer finish, which you know is one of my I'm always beating that stupid drum because I don't like to have a pucker at the end. That just doesn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's lovely.
What do you think, Donnie?
Tempranillos is my favorite in the world. And I do like I've described before, I like my wine to kick me back. You know, I want to fight a little bit. And this is doing it.
It's S&M wine. All right. There we go.
Yes,
you heard it here first.
Well, yeah, I like this. Yeah. Cool. Nom, nom. So, who actually got the new tattoo? We know that someone got a tattoo tonight.
I had my tattoo finished tonight.
Oh, finished?
So, yeah, 3 weeks ago, we both went in, and Liz got a tattoo on her arm, and I got the line work on my tattoo done.
Yay!
Mine,
and
now you can people see. Are Josh's taking their clothes.
And then it was 10 o'clock, and we had to come back 3 weeks later.
Josh's is covered, so we cannot show it off, which is okay, because our audience can't see it anyway.
But I love yours because of what it's based on. So tell them what this is based on.
It is a basically a tracing from a Bronze Age rock carving in Tanum, Sweden, which is on the west coast of Sweden, and it's this ancient site that we went to when we were in Sweden, and I have another one on my back that is a dude with a spear and actually a very large phallus. It's awesome.
And you can show us that one. Well, you can show us that one. That's cool.
So they're prehistoric, and it's just really cool. Well,
it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's a pretty cool place.
Well, we have friends who live in Sweden, and we went and visited them a few years ago. And put that away, Josh.
I was showing the tattoo.
Yes, but you see a picture.
Tell them what your major was.
The best part is our
college.
Listeners. No, our listeners are going, put what away,
Josh? Well, she did just talk about the phallus.
They don't know where I got the tattoo.
I want to see it again anyway.
Oh, okay, so now we're looking at the back tattoo. Oh, that is really great.
It goes shoulder to shoulder, and it's
that's cool. That's super cool. Yep. Hair goes out of the way. Yeah, that's lovely.
It's really, really cool.
That's super lovely.
And I keep saying I'm going to get a tattoo. And...
So that's what mine looks like.
Oh, okay. Right now we're looking at a picture of Josh's. It's on his arm. His right arm. He's got a dude with a skull.
Okay, tell us,
and an arrow.
Tell us the story about this.
This is a skeleton riding a skeleton horse, essentially.
I think that'd be noisy.
Rattle, rattle, rattle.
Down the road.
That dude's not going to sneak up on anyone.
What the hell is that sound? Oh, that's a skeleton riding a skeleton horse 2 miles away.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
The drawing is sort of inspired by the cover for a program for Equus that we did when I was in college, which was sort of the show that convinced me to keep theater in my life, because I went to college intending to be a writer. So this was sort of a formative experience for me.
Neat.
And it's the style, this sort of folk mm-hmm. art style, is Jessie the tattoo artist. That's sort of what she does. She does this mm-hmm. dark, macabre, folk art inspired stuff.
Kind of Day of the Dead-ish.
Day of the mm-hmm. Dead mixed mm-hmm. with like American folk art traditions.
Well, it looks so beautiful. Cool. The picture.
So
is
it's
stunning.
A custom piece that we kind of, Josh kind of said, here's an idea, and I love your folk art, and I love the mm-hmm. idea of skeletons, and go with it. And she drew this, and we were wow. like, oh my god, that's the best thing ever.
Yeah, neat.
We're really yeah. happy. So. Cool. She did a good job. She's a fantastic
Jessie
artist.
Jessie McNally at Steady Tattoo.
Yay, Steady Yay. Tattoo.
Plug.
Yep.
Oh, we plug a lot of things.
Yeah, feel free.
And definitely check out her. She does amazing sculptural work as well.
Isn't that cool?
It's sort of, that's her so work cool. is very much like assemblage with paint. It's sort of like Bob Rauschenberg inverted, in that like the pieces are very much the canvas. But
she'll take like old, not Hummel, but like Hummel style figurines, and then paint like sugar skulls over them, and then like glue jewels on them. Or she'll take like just an object and then turn it into something else with a bunch of skulls and hanging
like
things.
Like take a mannequin like, head and a bird cage and a skull.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, right. Like
as you
do. Like, as you do. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Because that's what the skeleton on the skeleton horse is delivering.
Right.
Yes. Someone. So instead of a lantern, he's got the birdcage
right.
with
the
skull.
Birdcage yeah. with a mannequin head in it. Yeah.
Perfect sense.
Obviously.
So how long did your work to go today for the tattoo?
Today, about 3 hours.
Okay. How long total?
About five and a half, yeah.
That's not so bad.
It was 2.5 to do the line work, and then about 3 today to do the color and shading.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
My low guy was like an hour. I need to get a bigger tattoo.
Yeah. I think that's what happens, though. You get a tattoo, and then you still wish it was bigger.
Oh, you don't stop.
No, it's like...
This is my fourth. I mean, yeah, like, you know, this is his... This is Josh's first tattoo, which is just insane. Like,
cool. Then I'm not the only one.
So
okay.
Huge,
I hit him on the
like,
other arm this time.
Yeah.
When so I know which arm is the tattoo.
Hugely intricate for a first tattoo. Mm-hmm. You know, most people's first tattoo, they're like, oh, keep it small. I don't.
Yeah,
know.
Look at hers. Hers oh, is yeah. my first.
Holy
tattoo.
Cow! That's yeah. amazing.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, she goes all the way. I'm showing my tattoo, which is a dragon. It's she goes up my right side. I measured her; she's about 2 feet long.
Wow! How long beautiful. Did that take?
It was about 16 hours.
Yep. Yeah,
how many sessions did
the...
you do?
4 sessions.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. What was about that? But anyways, yeah.
Yeah,
I
but
just
it's
love
over
them.
Over your ribs and
oh,
your hip
God.
Bone, and that must have just hurt like
yeah.
holy hell.
Oh, it hurts so bad. But
so,
anyways.
So how do you get through the pain? You know, I've asked for this pain, and how do you just grit your teeth and get
well,
through it?
There's well, I mean, first of all, it only hurts when it's happening. It's, so it's like if I
yeah,
just
but it's happening
this,
for hours at a time.
Yeah,
it's
like and
have
then,
you ever had a dental cleaning?
Yes.
It's dealing with the same sort of thing.
I disagree.
I disagree.
Like where
you've
where,
got a bad hygienist.
Yeah, you do.
Oh my god. Let me tell you about one of them. But like if you like where you will have you're gonna have sharp like it's not like it's like she's saying, like it, they come in and go. So it's not like
I think part of it though is that because it's because you choose to be there.
Yeah.
So you have this mental thing, and part of it is your body has this reaction of like, what the hell are you doing? This really hurts, and it wants to run away. But you make it sit there because you want this to happen. But then there's yeah. also a level of endorphin that kicks in.
It totally does.
That yeah. you basically get high off it. Your body just
is like, after a while, it doesn't hurt as bad.
Yeah,
it doesn't hurt as bad, but then after a while longer, it hurts a lot worse.
Yeah,
and then that's when you...
Although the weird part is, like, several hours in, you get this weird sensation where they stop, and when they stop, you can feel the stinging from where they've tattooed before, and you actually want them to go back, because when they have the needle on you, you can't feel the sting.
Yeah.
I don't know why
there's
that is.
The localized feel of the needle versus like the overall sting of the whole thing.
So
we're really convincing
all
Lana
I can
to
think
get a tattoo here.
Is when I had PRK done on my eyes.
Oh yeah.
Where the laser, you know, they it's not the you do the flap with the LASIK and they do the thing and it goes back in. You have like an hour of pain. And then you la 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 la. No, PRKs, they take the laser and they go right over the top.
Yep.
And for about 24 hours it's like having handfuls of sand in your eyes.
Well, LASIK is like that too, because I did that as well, and
the tears.
It was
horrible. Yeah,
it was horrible. But it was worth it, though. Worth it.
Although my eyes are much drier.
So are mine.
Yeah.
But still worth it.
That slime layer just never really grows back.
It really doesn't.
No. Oh. Well, yeah. You never really appreciate the eye slime until until you don't have eye slime. Yeah. And that's actually what helps you focus.
Right.
Because that's the nice glossy layer. Anyway, but you know.
Anyways, so we have this wine and eye slime. Delicious.
So...
Tasting notes of ice slime.
How could you resist?
I know. So, it said it on the label. I had to buy two.
Next on our agenda.
Is we're actually going to keep talking about wine?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sure. Why not? So we love to, you know, like try the. We have white bread as usual, and almonds, which are sound dampening almonds. And we like to try the wine with the almonds, and you know,
are those more expensive than the organic?
Oh my god, they are so expensive!
Like you go to the co-op, and they're like conventional almonds, organic almonds, sound dampening almonds.
Yeah, because you can't hear when they're done growing.
Yes.
So yeah, really hard to find.
So not only are they steamed. Non-roasted, unsalted, they are sound damping.
Yeah.
So they're, you know, twice as expensive.
Super twice.
Only for you guys.
Yeah, you're the first people to experience them.
You know, they're very special.
I've been munching bread and drinking my wine.
Me too.
And I think it's delicious.
It actually brings out more pepper in the wine, which is usually it mellows something out, so... As usual, Tempranillo really, really wants to be paired with something like a red meat.
Yes.
Yep. In fact, everything I think it'd be great
to be paired with red meat.
I think, especially something like bison, something with some real...
Something gamey.
Gamey bison.
Having just had bison sausage last week, it really reminded me of that.
Ooh, next time we cook elk, we should have some Tempranillo.
There we go.
And you should invite us over. Mm-hmm. That's what I was waiting for you to say.
I'm like, we should invite you to bring the Tempranillo.
Okay.
There we go.
We're good. And now, I know, Liz, you just grabbed an almond and munched that. Did that change your Tempranillo at all?
Let's try that again. I didn't pay attention.
Okay, now
and
we're
let's all listen to the crunchy sounds.
Yeah. Oh, there goes my almond.
Have another.
I think I will. What do you think?
Yes.
It does mellow it out a bit.
Yep.
And
it melons out the tannins, and I definitely taste more of the fruit because of that.
Yep.
Oh, it's lovely with almonds.
It is.
Though it's interesting, the dryness of almonds, to me, pulls out the mouthfeel of the tannins, so, like, it makes the wine feel drier.
Okay.
Because the almond has that kind of, not chalky, but, you know, the way an almond kind of...
Yeah, that's lovely. Well, this is fun.
Yeah.
So should we rate this puppy?
Yeah. So we rate on a 1 to 5 scale. 1... being the lowest and 5 being the highest. So 1 is, I wouldn't drink it if they were handing it out free, even at Renfest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's pretty egregious.
Yeah, 2 is, we would equate it to vinegar wine dressing or salad dressing. That's what I meant to say. Have some more wine, dog.
Have some wine dressing with that wine.
I like this idea.
I think it's...
We should
brilliant
wine dressing so that we can eat salad, feel good about it, but actually drink wine at the same time.
Okie dokie.
I prefer wine undressing.
Done. Okay.
Or so just that sounded
after
like
we've had all the wine dressing on the salad and the wine and the almonds.
I was
going to
say
wine.
You prefer wine undressing.
Woo!
All right.
Even better.
I'm always inappropriate. Okay.
3
is wedding appropriate wine. It's something that you'd get, you know. Handed to you at a wedding, and it's perfectly
adequate.
Fine. Perfectly adequate. 4 is a bottle I wouldn't feel guilty drinking by myself.
And that actually leaves a lot of leeway,
yes,
considering Dawn and I.
Yes. And then, of course, there's 5.
I would tap that vintner's cask.
So on a scale of 1 to 4, and you can use in-betweeny numbers if you want.
Yes.
It
doesn't have to be an integer.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You could use... What do you think, Josh?
Decimals are fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you rate it pi?
I was just about to say pi.
3.14159.
Yeah, you can totally rate it pi.
So, what is your day job, Josh?
I'm a computer programmer.
Yeah, there you go. Nerds!
I mean, I make websites. That sounds cooler, right?
Yeah,
totally. You make websites for a media company.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds way cooler. So how would you rate this wine besides 3.14?
I would actually say it's somewhere in that 4 region. I mean, I think it's a very solid wine. It's, I mean, It's not something you're going to, like, crack open on a birthday, like, and be like, woo! But, I like it a
Can
lot.
Can you do that again?
Woo!
Woo! Woo!
Notice Josh puffed up his chest when he did that, as if he had breasts.
He doesn't?
If I had breasts, I would not have made it here. I wouldn't have made it to work. I'd still be at home right now.
I think you would learn really fast how much they can be weird.
they do bring their own issues.
They do. Okay, but anyways, okay, that's Liz. Another podcast.
Yes.
Liz, what do you think?
I think I would also be in the four-ish region.
Mm-hmm.
That it is solid. It isn't woo, but... There, I stuck out my boobs. Okay.
And she has some nice boobs.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, they're lovely.
She took off her shirt.
She's wearing a black bra, too. Anyway. But so, wait, no, I'm wearing a burgundy one.
Okay.
Lana is wearing a bra today.
I am.
And it's black.
And lacy.
Ooh, and lacy.
Ooh, nice. Yes.
Super sexy.
Yeah, I think it's a very solid, it's not, nothing to write home about.
Mm-hmm.
But I often, Tempur Neo, I think, tends to be solid, but not blow your socks off.
Yeah.
I have rarely had a Tempur Neo that makes me stick out my boobs. If that's your scale
so for instead of just being a bottle, I wouldn't feel guilty drinking by myself. In Liz's cases, I might stick out my boobs.
Yeah,
I might stick out my boobs.
Okay. And this is just about posture. We need to clarify. This has nothing to do with. We're not at undress wine yet.
This is not New Orleans style. Right, I need beads kind
we're,
of.
We're oh. much more classy than that.
Yeah, those beads are plastic. Most I mean, of the come time. On, girls. You know, yeah. Like have some self respect.
Hold out for pearls.
Yeah, exactly.
At least some semi precious stones. Come
at least
on.
Something. Is that how you got all your garnets?
Well, sweetheart, you were with me when I got most of my garnets. Especially those really big garnets.
I know. Big garnets.
So,
are we actually talking about garnets?
We don't know anymore. Welcome to Drinking with Dawn and Lana.
So how would you rate this one, Lana?
Yeah, well, as you said before, Tempur Neo is not my favorite because it does have more tannins and it is more peppery.
Uh-huh.
I'm a big velvety finish kind of girl. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a second.
We're talking about wine again? Or we're talking about
wine? Everything that I say comes out sounding dirty, whether I intend it to or not.
Yeah.
I would give this a 3, which is really good for a Tempur Neo
for me.
And let me tell you, now, usually I go to Big Top Liquors on University Avenue, which is... You know, they tend to have a lot of selection. But I was at Trader Joe's down here on Lexington, and they have a very small selection of Tempur Neo.
So I had to
really kind of look at the descriptions, and it was a crapshoot. But this one said it was more fruity and had a softer finish, so that's why I went for this one. And now I'll tell you how much it costs. And this is no reflection on our lovely guests, but this was...
Is. Way to go, Lana.
we haven't heard the price yet.
Yeah, but
so it was $5.99.
Wow, amazing!
Wow, for $5.99, I would even like pop this up to a 4 easily.
Yeah, so
for, I mean $6 bottle of wine,
and it's organic grapes.
Even better,
and from Spain. So there you go.
And wow. I have to say, like, I don't know why it is, but I have been less consistently impressed by organic grape wines than I have, and I haven't drank as much from the organic grape world.
Mm-hmm.
But when I ventured...
There's a world of organic grapes.
And you'd like to venture out that way, but I don't know why it is, but it seems like a lot of those wines... I don't know.
You know what I think it is? I think the whole organic thing is much newer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the vines are newer, and they haven't matured yet.
Well, and I tend to... I'm dubious of organic in general.
Mm. What?
Yeah.
What?
I think it is an overused label that is often intended to kind of boost sales or boost an impression of ecology or responsibility that isn't the case anymore.
Right.
That just because something is organic doesn't mean it is responsibly grown anymore because of the rise in big organic and that sort of thing. And I will be much more interested in something being local and in season.
Mm-hmm.
Organic is third in my mind. So, and to me, knowing enough about the way grapevines are raised and that pesticides don't tend to have a huge use in vineyard management that it, to me, just to me, organic isn't like isn't something I look for in a wine.
It was interesting though when we were in Sonoma, we visited a couple of vineyards and one of them tried to be very responsible, and they grew cover crops to keep the weeds down, and then turn them under so that they had natural fertilizer. And some grapes actually don't mature well and don't sweeten until wasps actually come and attack them. And so if you have pesticides, then...
Is that why you're not sweet, Lana? You haven't been attacked by wasps lately?
That's not what you said last night.
That's true. That's true. That was the whiskey night, though. Not the Tempranillo night.
So I do... I like to...
Is this going back to the bondage thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Always
doesn't
does.
It usually?
Always does.
So I like to go organic when I can, but I think it is more that it's a newer thing and the vines are younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sadly, we don't have tasting notes on this one, on this bottle.
Well, bloody hell.
I know. But we can make people read the back anyway.
Sure.
Who do you want to have go?
Well, you know, it was Liz's choice.
Well, that's true. Okay, Liz, you get to read the back of the bottle for us.
But!
However... You have to do it in a funny voice. Oh. From the envelope of funny voices.
You know so. I'm not an actor.
It doesn't matter.
Now you know how the actors feel.
This is pulling out a funny voice.
So funny Liz is a director and a playwright and a lighting designer and 14 bazillion and artistic director.
And she gets the voice of...
Cranky Lunch Lady.
So she's reading the bottle of the El Barro Spanish Red Wine Tempranillo. If you could just read the back and the voice of a cranky lunch lady...
El Barro Tempranillo Barrica is made by Spain's oldest estate bottled winery. Spain's finest, proudly made with hand-selected, certified, organically grown grapes. El Barro Tempranillo Barrica is perfect when enjoying with friends or in giving the gift of wine.
Damn it.
Well done!
Bravo! Thank you so much for reading that one for us. So it's time to move on to our second bottle, which means we need to clean out our glasses.
Yes. Do you need some water?
Yeah. Okay. I got some water.
I can kill my water.
You killed your
kill
water?
That water.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've been thirsty.
You've had the thirsties?
Mm-hmm.
After? Oh my goodness.
Is it better watered down, Lana?
Well, that was just water. You know I always drain my glass, so it really only had a drop or two.
I know. It's kind of sad.
I've never seen you actually leave that much wine in your glass.
I was trying to eke it out. Only because there's just not enough wine in the world.
Yeah.
So we're moving on to bottle number two, the Faustino the Seventh.
Well, I wonder about the first six.
Well, I do too, and I have to admit, I picked out the bottle just because it has this really goofy picture on the front of it, which is usually why I pick out most of my bottles. It's kind of got this dude with, like, this
rough.
It's rough, and he's kind of got gray hair, and it's kind of everywhere. And so I bought it because of that.
Yeah, like the bottle of the cock with the armor. Please.
He's
dude.
Very Spanish, though.
Yes, he does look Spanish. He looks like his name might be Nigo Montoya. But it might not be.
Except he's got one of those, like,
what?
Fluffy collar.
Elizabethan rough. But you know what? Everybody everywhere wore one of those. It didn't really matter where you were in Europe.
Okay, here we go. Oh, that.
Or if you were, like, in a Dutch painting of any sort.
Well, if you were in a Dutch painting, you absolutely had to wear one.
Yeah, he very much...
And there had to be, like, dead animals just strewn around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it shows
I love Dutch hunting porn.
Yeah, it shows your virility.
Nothing better than, like, an old Dutch painting of, like, a dead rabbit surrounded by some vegetables. Just,
that gets me off every freaking time.
Well, not, like, porn.
You guys have an interesting relationship. that sounds fascinating over there. So this wine is such a pretty color. Yes, the wine color is fascinating.
Yes, it is. Wine. It's very ruby.
It's darker than the first one.
And it's less pink.
Yeah.
It's more of a true red.
Ooh. Oh, no, don't smell it yet. Don't smell it yet. I was a bad girl. I couldn't help but smell it because now we need to
swirl it. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But the smell is
already getting
me.
That was a big pour
for
everybody.
Yeah, that was a big pour.
I appreciate the pour.
Well, you know.
So I have to go straight into smelling because the smelling got me.
I'm not seeing a lot of legs.
It's leggier than the first one.
Is it leggier? I'm not seeing much.
Wow.
It's hard to tell after you rinse your glass. Okay.
This smells like a Tempranillo.
I can smell the tannins off of this one.
Yes. Mm. So I can finish your glass if you don't like it.
You can wrestle it from my cold, jet hand.
Smells like it's black on. Currant.
No. Black just, currant?
Just as she said she doesn't like it, doesn't mean she doesn't
drink it. Yeah, I won't drink
it's
it.
It's true, it's true, it's true.
I didn't say, you know, the smell made it a one.
Yeah.
I'll drink it too if things happen.
I'll drink a one if it's hot enough outside.
Someone's giving me something free at Renfest. I'll drink that kind of wine.
Unless it came from the port.
Let's not go there.
Smelling. Yeah, it's
see, actually,
it's got
free
a kick
at
to
the
it.
Renfest is like less desirable to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be like, oh, this is some like wannabe medieval guy's like attempt at homemade mead or something just going to be awful.
I had a mead at Renfest one year that was so awful I couldn't finish the glass.
Oh, that's
I think it was late in the day and it was an egregiously yellow color. It was bad.
I only drink the Egyptian mead out there. That one's yummy. Anyways, let's try this one.
Okay.
But we need to do a toast.
Okay.
What should we toast to next?
To egregious mead? I don't know.
To Renfest.
Renfest.
Where it's hot and we're sweaty and we're drinking lots of wine.
Yep. Oh, I can't wait to give this one a taste. What do you guys think? Mm.
Tannic?
Yeah.
More darker fruit, blackberries.
Mm. Interesting, though, but it hits the tongue way at the back of the palate. Mm. The tannins do.
Yep.
Which actually is much more comfortable for me.
This is lovely.
It's got a sour apple, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, boy, this kind of makes me happy. I have to admit.
I'm just having flashbacks to our trip to the Renfest this year because it was everything but hot and sweaty and...
Oh my gosh,
really?
Where did you guys go?
We were there right at the end and it was raining and we brought our nieces.
Who refused to wear their rain jackets.
Yeah. Or she,
how
she
old
did,
are they?
She was 4 at the time.
She refused to wear
it. Didn't want to put on her coat when we left the car and then proceeded to spend the rest of the day complaining that she was cold and wet.
Yeah,
as a 4-year-old does, and we love her to death. She's lovely, but it was a miserable day.
And you know, when you're an adult and you're cold and you're wet, you go, "Well, give me some wine and I'll warm up."
Right.
But with a 4-year-old, you could get arrested for that.
Yeah.
Oh, my parents would get arrested.
Yeah, say, if they catch you.
Yes, but your mom is from Germany, and that's different.
totally, yes, justified. Yes, totally. Oh yeah, Renfest is a fun place. Have you guys ever worked out there?
No, not.
Did you have to think about that?
Yes. I think it was more volunteering than actually working, and it was in high school,
so
it was none of that counts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and we always go dressed, except for the year that
except
you got your
go
tattoo.
Naked.
I've never been naked.
No,
yeah.
I mean,
there
dressed
are times
in
we go
costume.
Naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The year that you got your tattoo done, and that would have been
so
very
painful.
It would have rubbed your tattoo. But
oh, it would have killed me. But anyways.
But yes, we usually go with lots of leather.
Plenty of leather. As much as we can muster.
And the Renfest boots that I bought that more expensive than any pair of footwear I've
You know, you
I've
can just
had.
Get a motorcycle.
You know what?
No!
Really.
I put those boots on. I've never had a pair of any kind of footwear, any piece of clothing where I put it on, I stood there and I felt like a superhero.
Oh yeah, that's what a good outfit does.
Oh.
Renfest boots have that power.
Oh,
they are powerful.
They are powerful.
And they're comfortable.
But so do motorcycle leathers.
I can imagine.
I'm having a hard time imagining.
Will
maybe
think
a little
about,
more wine will
yeah, Kill Bill. Think Kill Bill leathers. That makes me want to go
Kill Bill.
Kill people. Yeah.
No.
It makes me want to take on an entire Yakuza.
Army, yeah.
Well, Liz, what's going on with you? I mean, your tattoo isn't, you know, is still healing, but I mean, what
you
else
guys have
doing?
A show coming.
We do have a show.
We're about to enter Tech Week.
Oh,
yes.
Dear God.
Oh, God, drink up.
Yes, keep drinking. What show are you guys doing?
Well, we run Nimbus Theater,
which is wonderful
which
to
is
work
awesome.
At, by the way.
Yes.
I wouldn't know.
Lana has been in one of our shows.
which was lovely. I did watch
let
it.
Let me just interject here that this was the first time I had done a show that was an original script. Where
that was The Golden Ass, right?
That was The Golden Ass,
which was fun
which
to
I always giggle to say.
That was a fun show.
Where the cast got to really have some say and some play in how that script evolved and the lines that went into it. And I know the first week, because most of the people in the show you'd worked with before, and you know, I'm feeling a little tentative. It's like, well, okay, let me just get the feeling of the water. But then, you know, after a while, it was just such a rush.
It was a fun show. Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the show, because we all got to play so many characters, and I especially liked to play the character with the really big knife.
As you do.
Like
that's
you
why
do.
You liked your Batla.
Actually, it was based, that particular character was based on Mal Reynolds from Serenity. and once you knew that, it was like, oh, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
That's awesome.
But by the end, I had never had such a feeling of ownership.
Ownership, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, that entire cast, but everybody in the theater
that
was just so supportive.
That is a good segue, because the show that is coming up is very similar in that it's one of our company members, Mitchell Fraser, is directing, and it was actually his idea way back when that he wanted to do George C. Wolfe's The Colored Museum, you know, which is a classic show from the 80s about the African-American experience in America. And Mitch has always loved that show, but wanted to update it and make it more now 21st century and more representative of not just the Black experience, but all experiences of all cultures. And so Mitch had been talking to us, and we kind of tried to see if we could get in touch with the original author and see, can we get your script and update it and that sort of thing, and that never really happened. So we just said, okay, we'll make a new show. Because that's what we do at Nimbus, is we just kind of make up plays.
Which is absolutely fabulous.
So
we specialize in the collaborative creation of new plays.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what we do.
So this process of having on the Golden Ass, I wrote the translation based off of, the Golden Ass is an ancient Roman novel. It's considered actually one of the first novels, like actual pieces of fiction ever
fully
written.
Extant.
So, right. So I took existing translations of it, and, you know, which I did a similar process with when I did the Oresteia, where you sit down with 7 translations and you read them all and you're like, okay, well, for that line, I want to say it this way. And sometimes that's kind of pulling directly from someone. Anyway, so for this, what we've done with other shows is kind of much more text or material-based thing, where you'll come with kind of a jumping-off point or a show that's inspiring you, but then you'll bring in other material and other, you know, or other experiences and form it. So for this show, we just decided to use the Colored Museum basically as a jumping-off point and an inspiration. And we have a cast of 7, all multiracial awesomeness. And so Josh and I, it's been interesting because this is the first time that we have, we've been kind of the head writers, but it's really the company wrote it. Like, we don't get a writing credit because just as much material was written by the cast.
We sort of served as a text team. I mean, yeah, I would say half of the material in the show was directly written by cast members in one way or another.
That's massive.
Based on their sort of experiences. It's a series of vignettes. You know, some of it's incredibly funny. We have a piece that's The Joy of Painting with Busta Ross. that is hilarious. We've got a, you know, piece called Cha-Cha Slide. And that's hilarious. But, you know, and then there's much more serious pieces. Sort of about the complexity of race and ethnic experience in America in 2014. And, you know, Mitch's idea is very much about he calls it seeing in color. And that means, like, actually looking beyond the sort of categories and buckets we put people into to see the complexity and the richness of America and our fellow Americans.
And he kind of talks about how he doesn't like that concept of colorblindness, you know, which people are like, oh, I'm colorblind, meaning like I don't see your race. And he's like, that's bullshit. First of all, you do see it.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, we need to be celebrating the many colors we are and not pretending that they don't exist. But you acknowledge they exist through celebrating them, not through acting as if there is no, you know. So it's very much, and some of it is offensive and some of it is sad and some of it is funny and poignant, and it's
some of it's uplifting.
I think we've had an amazing experience, you know, and also it's been very interesting, the two of us being white, writing this play for a black director and a cast that includes Mexicans and Jewish people.
Who
and
are the people in your cast?
It is starring... Oh, I should have brought a postcard. There's Ernest Briggs.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
I'll say Bruno.
Yep.
Jesse Villarreal. Simone Williams. Nastasia Nicole Foster.
Susie Chang.
And Dana Lee Thompson.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
Yeah, so it's this incredible mix of people and stories, and, you know, you've got stories of being a Cambodian refugee and a story about African-American women dealing with their hair.
That is one thing that Caucasian women and women of color just can never understand about each other is hair.
And that was one of the most fascinating parts of this process was that Nastasia and Dana gave me a bunch of notes about kind of, you know, the experiences they've gone through with their hair.
Yeah.
And then I kind of did some, you know, just a little bit of Google, like, what is actually a hot comb? Like, how does it work? You know, because I'm white, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote this scene, and they came back and read it, and they were like, I can't believe that you wrote this. Like, not that I didn't, but that a person who had never experienced these things was able to pull that out. And it's been this fascinating process of Josh and I trying to, and often it's just, crafting, that they'll come, they will write down for us or express in some way their story or what the experience is, and then our job is simply editing a little bit and shaping it to be
we're more like court clerks than anything else.
You know, to be actually ready for the stage.
And they've really taken ownership over the material. I mean, that's what you're talking about
here.
And this is something I found in all of the sort of devised work that we've done is there's a beginning where you get a cast into it, and depending on it, like, there are actors who work with devised material and company-created material more than others. So, like, depending on where you are in that process, you might step in, you know, and just take over, or it might take you a little while to get your feet wet. But, like, last year when we did Tesla, there was a point
which was, by the fact, a great show, and it was fabulous and beautifully written, Josh.
Thank you.
And that stupid pigeon made me cry at the end of the show.
Oh, no.
But there was this point at which, you know, we're getting like 2-3 weeks out, and the cast is just coming up with new ideas every day. And I'm like, you know, you guys, at some point we've got to be off book, and you guys have to stop messing around.
That was funny.
And, you know, Mitch had the same thing this last week or so, where there kept coming in these great notes and, you know, all these scene changes from the cast. And Mitch was like, yeah, now's the time where we, like, we actually reverse this play. We got to shut down the new ideas and focus on executing what we have.
You have to.
I do remember when...
But no, the notorious story is me rewriting a scene, like, major rewrite of a scene of the Golden Ass during Tech Week.
Which one was that, by the way?
It was the eagle, the mouse and the eagle.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so, it wasn't working. And I checked.
Those
are
beautiful puppets, by the way.
With every single member of the cast, because, and especially when you're, you know, we do all of these new plays that basically the first draft is the one that sees the light of day. And we've learned, you know, you don't remount things because it just doesn't work. So it's basically your first chance at it. So sometimes you, as soon as the play opens, you're like, oh God, well, here's the 18 things I would change on this.
2/3 of the way through, we decided that the farmers were, instead of Ma and Pa,
they were Ma and Ma.
I love that.
But the scene just was not working. And so I checked with everyone, but I was like, okay, guys, either we stand by the old adage that you can't change anything during Tech Week, but everyone knows this scene isn't working.
Yeah.
But it's Tech Week. Or
right.
I change it and we fix it. And everyone said, dear God, please fix it.
We will learn a half a page of new lines.
Yeah,
that's
days.
Nothing at
we'll
that
do,
point.
You know.
So how long has Nimbus been in existence?
2001.
2001. And you have your own space.
Yeah. Our first production was done in the Fringe Festival. It was written by a man named Cockroach. Or who claims that he is claims that he is called
Cockroach. I have not met him yet, but I've heard such stories.
He's actually back in town right now, so we should unveil him to the public.
We need a party.
So that you opened in 2001, and you got your own space in
not until about 4 years ago.
And you guys,
it's a stunning
built it the inside from the ground up. It was just like a bare warehouse,
and we're still working on it. Like right now, I am going back and forth with our property manager on approving some plans for facade renovation that will involve a...
We're going to get a light-up sign!
Nice.
Yay! Anyone who knows how hard it is to find Nimbus at night will be really excited.
Yeah, if you don't know what you're looking for.
And so when does your next show open?
In a week.
What's the date?
April 5th.
April 5th.
April 5th.
And what's the rest of your lineup for the season?
That's it for this season. Yes.
Which we've never actually... The title of the show is Nasarima, Stories of Color. I realize that we've never actually said the title of the play.
Thank you for telling us the story.
Nasarima, Stories of Color, playing at Nimbus Theater, April 5th through 27th.
Yay. You are also hosting the auditions for Fringe.
We are.
Oh, yeah, you guys are doing the Unifieds.
Awesome, we'll all be
which
there.
Is,
we're also really excited to host Tease again for the third year in a row.
There you go.
The Easy Access Script Experience. And, you know, there's a lot going on there. There's something every weekend.
It is really, really special for... A lot of people don't understand that most theaters don't have their own space. And they spend a huge amount of their yearly budget on renting space.
The vast majority, like 90% of their budget.
So having a theater that has their own home...
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and also allows the people who work there, who are writing for the space and who are directing and designing for the space, you know ahead of time what you're working with, mm-hmm. and you can visualize it, mm-hmm. and that is so huge.
Mm-hmm. Hats off!
Yeah.
Yay! Well, and it's awesome because we still spend the largest majority of our budget on
rent.
Absolutely. It's about the same, you know, you just put in the show budget, rent mm-hmm. for a month at our theater instead of renting the theater garage or Intermedia or wherever you were doing a play. But then when we're not producing, other companies use it. And so the space pays for itself.
Bravo.
But that's also excellent. Creates this home for many other people and places and events. That I mean, I was just meeting with a neighbor of ours today who is a concert pianist. And who wants to, you know, he's doing some more kind of his own kind of produced operas and concerts and things. And we just got a piano at the theater.
That's what the conversation about the grand piano on Facebook was about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lovely. That my parents were getting rid of a baby grand. And I was like, nope, you're not selling that. It's going to the theater. So, you know, looking at hopefully having some, you know, opera performances there and concerts. Nice. And sometimes we'll have... private parties with a DJ or bands will play at opening night.
You had a glitter fest at one point.
Oh, yes. But that was a special occasion. Just today revised our rental contract and made a special line item for
no glitter is allowed.
No Jesse Porter.
So what do you guys think of the wine?
It's lovely.
It is lovely.
It is. I really enjoy it. On the scale of 1 to 5, 1 being worse.
Wait a second. Let's get some more bread here.
I mean, I've been eating this whole time because that's what Dawn does, is eat.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Me too. I'm like, put food in front
of yeah,
what is 5 again?
5 is I would tap that vintner's cask. So, you know, 3 is the wedding appropriate wine. Josh, it looks like you have an answer. No, you don't have an answer?
I was going to say, I'm screwed up by your scale, because I realized that I would probably drink Mad Dog 2020, but I wouldn't do that.
There have been times.
I think this is, I like this better than the previous one.
Okay.
I can't put this at a 5.
Okay.
But,
You wouldn't feel guilty drinking this one by yourself?
I would not feel guilty drinking this by myself at all.
I think what you're trying to say is that when you're by yourself, you drink poorer than when...
When I'm at a wedding, yeah.
Than when you're with... if I'm by myself, I will slum it and like...
Yeah. Yeah, I usually do too.
You know, that's when you... That's when you eat Kraft macaroni and cheese out of a box for dinner, is when your spouse isn't around to tell you to do otherwise. Whatever the liquor equivalent
is that what I do?
Of that
is. I would eat a frozen pizza, but the wine better be damn good.
Exactly. So what are you giving this one, Lana?
You know, the funny thing is, now it's got so much tannin, but when I eat it with the almonds, the bread makes no difference whatsoever.
Yeah.
But the almonds really mellow it out. I'm going to give this a 3.2, which for a Tempranillo, again.
A 3 as well, or a
3.2? A 3.2.
A 3.2, interesting.
Almost pie, but not quite.
Yeah.
More than pie.
More than pie.
Oh, yeah,
like this more than pie.
3.14, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless it's strawberry rhubarb. No, we won't go there.
Did we get an answer from Josh?
Pecan pie.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, it sounded four-ish to me.
Four-ish? Liz, what do you think?
I think, not to be boring, but I agree with my husband in that I like it better than the other one. It's not quite 5.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
A 4 is what you're saying?
4-ish, yeah.
4-ish? Yeah, I'm happy to pop this one a 4. Which is funny, because the next question is, which bottle did you like better? Lana, do you have a preference?
I think this is the better bottle.
I agree.
Now, had I been able to go to my usual place, I would have had a little more selection. But I may have you know. Yeah. This is, I like to change it up between the two.
Which brings up a question I would ask. Favorite places to buy wine that aren't wine places, you know? Like, you can say go to Serdix or go to Haskell's or somewhere that, you know, is a wine place. But I love talking about going to buy wine at Big Top.
I would say 90% of the time, I go to Big Top. Mm-hmm. And that is where I've discovered some amazing wines. Or that I have found wines that I've had at restaurants, and I have found them at incredible prices.
Oh, is this the Ghetto Big Top on Snelling and University?
Yeah.
I love that place.
And you know what? And I will say this every time. It is the most amazing cross-section. Go there on a Friday or Saturday night. Yeah. And you will see the people who are buying cases of wine for their cocktail parties.
Ew.
And you will see the people counting out their pennies for their single can of malt liquor.
Mm-hmm.
And their staff, by and large, some of the nicest people you would ever want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
They're very helpful. They'll carry your wine out. And it's just like,
Chicago Lake Liquors is great for beer, and it's the same, like, cross-section of, we've run into, didn't we see Slug there once?
Slug?
Or was it,
you know, fascinating people with names well,
one
of Slug
and Cockroach.
That's just so fascinating. No,
we saw
what they
one
call
of
you,
the main
Lana.
Artists from Atmosphere, the local hip-hop duo.
Oh, okay.
No, it was Ant. It wasn't Slug.
Oh, of course, Ant. Well, which kind of like...
Anyway.
So you know
a lot of bugs.
A lot of bugs.
Kind
of,
well, I mean, and you're asking where do you get your wine? I mean, I get my wine often from Cub.
Which is less than a block away from
less than
house.
A block away.
What?
It is Cub. Yeah,
in
Iowa?
Iowa?
Minnesota. Liquor.
Yes, yes.
What Cub has a liquor store?
The one by my house.
Where do you live?
In Bloomington.
I'm going to stalk you.
And I got this bottle for $11.49.
See, you spent a good deal more than I did.
I did.
And I think it's a Minnesota thing where it's like separate from the...
Yes,
it is. It is separate.
You know, and this is one of the interesting things. For some types of wine, the cost of the wine really has no reflection on how good it is. But I think with a Tempranillo, it might be a little more indicative.
Oh, I would go with that.
Well, I will say, we love Spanish reds. And in fact, we love Spanish wines of all sorts. They make incredible rosés that you just can't get in America, in Spain. But we honeymooned in Spain, so like we have a soft spot for Spanish wine.
Understandable.
But one of the great parts of Spanish wine is for a European wine, they are incredibly affordable.
Yes.
I mean, compared to
like
Italian
like
or French
orange
wines.
Juice over there.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
same with Italy.
Right.
It's like, you know, you sit
they're
down
approachable.
And...
They're a lot easier to figure out. I mean, we've been trying to learn more about French wine, but it just like
well, the problem
oh,
with
God.
French wine is what we import too. Because having actually we were engaged in Paris and
aww.
When you, yeah
you guys aww. Travel a lot and I'm
that's
jealous
like it.
That's it
but that's the right reasons engagement and honeymoon done good
but
well I guess I need a second honeymoon
we
somewhere
went to
will
to
you
a
go
car.
With me
yeah.
So there you
yes,
go
yes
we can go have a second honeymoon together
oh,
and we can drink a lot of wine
okay honey
I'm game
what do you mind doing our tasting
did
notes
you just
this
say
time
I'm game
no
yes,
at all
I'm super okay. game okay, so Josh is now drawing from the envelope of funny voices, and he drew...
And I have chose librarian, sexy or otherwise.
Sexy or otherwise, and these are the tasting notes
okay.
for our...
I have worked in a librarian and have no idea what they
this
sound
like. This is
really.
A Faustino the VII, our Tempranillo, if you'd be so kind.
This is a surprisingly flavorsome and dense young Tempranillo.
Is this how he talks to you?
I have no idea. I don't know how librarians talk.
Sexy. Be
think,
sexy.
Think of Giles on Buffy.
Only female librarians are sexy.
I disagree. Giles has a
Giles
undertone.
Has a thing.
I don't know Giles.
You don't know Buffy?
Okay.
British
sorry.
Accent.
Do a
let's
British accent.
I can't
come
do a British
on,
accent.
Oh,
I can do an Irish accent.
Okay,
do
an Irish.
Or, no,
Irish
how about an Indian accent? No.
Anything you can pull out of your sleeve.
This is a surprisingly flavorsome and dense young Tempranillo-based red with 10
do
months aging in American oak. There is not a lot of finesse, but it is quite ripe and generous with some dates. Char and meaty character. The alcohol level is fairly high. There is firm acidity and tannin. Very good length. I would score it at a couple of years. Good flavor, depth for the money.
Firm with a good length.
Yes. It's firm with a good length. I kind of agree with that description.
I disagree with the dates.
You disagree with the dates?
No, I don't get dates.
Dates, I totally and utterly miss.
What year is it?
It's a 2010. Okay. You know, but I would agree with everything
else. That movie. Yes. That movie makes full frontal nudity boring. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. It's like, I don't remember Giles.
What?
This is an advisor of Josh's in college that...
We'll
just leave it at that.
Oh, I hear a story after the recording.
Yes.
So this was a fabulous evening of Tempranillos. Alana, do you might like a Tempranillo a little bit better now?
Okay. You sound so hopeful.
I don't
dislike it.
It's just not your wine to go to.
Don't tell Steve.
Oh.
But you know, he always laughs about my comments about tannin, so I'm not going to talk about tannin.
Okay.
I do like a wine with a really velvety finish. I don't want to have the pucker at the end.
Which is what I love. Yep.
Velvet leather.
Yep, that's
what I've learned.
And that's why the two of us are just an incredible
perfect
team.
Together.
Yes. We are.
So tonight we drank El Barro, a Spanish red from 2011, and Faustino the Seventh with a dude with a ruff on it from 2010. And of course we had the fabulous Liz and Josh with us from
Nimbus Theater.
And all the incredible things that they're doing, which they've got a show opening in a week, plus all the other crap that's going on, which is really impressive. So
yes,
bravo to
you
guys.
Impressive crap. And impressive tattoos.
Yes, and impressive tattoos. So you've been listening to Screw It. Wine improves with age.
And we improve with wine.
What's our next theme, Lana?
Oh, it's my choice, isn't it?
It's your choice.
Oh, shoot. You know what I'd like to do?
What?
I think I would like to do a red blend.
Ooh, red blends. Red blends under 20?
Under 20, sure.
Okay. Yeah. So
unless, wait.
What?
Wait for it.
No.
If.
Yes, I'm waiting.
You get a choice. You get red blends or box wine. Which would you prefer?
No, let's do red blends.
Alrighty.
Let's do red blends.
Red's
gonna be, I mean, box wine is gonna, it's coming. So, I mean, red blends under 20 is going to be our next
thing.
Should
have a few more guests if you need.
Yeah, I think you need a larger group to taste box wine.
And I'm going to go way down the road because I just had an ice wine.
Ooh, yeah, we'll do ice wines.
That really was incredible because the sweetness was balanced by the acid in a way that just blew my world.
Yes,
so,
and that's for
also,
another
I
episode.
Screw it. Invite ourselves back for the rosé one this summer.
Well, thank
you.
Oh,
definitely.
Thank
because
you.
We love rosés and people need to drink them more because they're not just...
It's not just... It's not just the nasty... 80s box wine that your mom would get when the sorority came over. I'm sorry, I just revealed too much about my
family.
Totally
did. So, thank you for listening. Please like us on Facebook.
Oh,
and
please.
We're going to be back for another episode of... What was it again?
Screw it.
Oh, yeah. Red wines under 20.
Blends.
Red blends
under
20. Under 20. I'm going to keep drinking some more. Thanks, everyone.
Bye!
Theme song. We don't have a theme song. Yay. There we go. Yay.